Good evening, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to Arab Voices on Houston's Pacifica Radio, listener-sponsored, commercial-free KPFT 90.1 FM, with live streaming, podcasting, and online archive of previous shows at both kpft.org and arabvoices.net. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of the show, which is also syndicated on WHYR 96.9 FM in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Today on the show, we will have two segments. First, we will talk about the 9th annual Houston Palestinian Festival that will be held this coming weekend. We will talk about it with Dr. Waleed Faris, president of the Palestinian American Cultural Center, and Alma Alquqa, senior festival committee member. During the second segment, we will talk about the National Arab American Heritage Month, which is this month, April. The proclamations issued nationally and locally about it, as well as planned local activities to celebrate this month by the Arab American Cultural and Community Center. We will talk about this with Sarah Qassis Azat, a volunteer serving on the board of a special project with Arab America organization, and Ahmad Al-Aswad, board member with the Arab American Cultural and Community Center and chief of staff at the office of Fort Bend County Commissioner Ken DeMerchant. And in order to allow enough time for both segments, I am skipping Arab Voices community calendar, but you can find a comprehensive list of upcoming events on our website, and that's arabvoices.net. The Palestinian American Cultural Center organization in Houston is organizing the 9th annual Houston Palestinian Festival, scheduled for this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, April 6th and 7th in Houston. And joining us now live in the studios of KPFT to talk about it is Dr. Waleed Faris, president of the Palestinian American Cultural Center, and Alma Alquqa, senior festival committee member. Waleed and Alma, welcome to Arab Voices.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks. We're glad to have you on the show. Alma, we've had you on the show before, so it's good to have you again. And Waleed, this is your first time, so hopefully it won't be the last.
I hope I do well.
Oh, I'm sure you do. So it is that time, the Palestinian Festival that will take place in Houston. We're going to talk about it with both of you, all the details. But first, if you could tell us, Dr. Waleed, about the Palestinian American Cultural Center organization and what it does.
I would be happy to. So the Palestinian American Cultural Center of Houston was established in 2009 as a response to the blockade in Gaza at the time. Through community grassroots efforts, we were able to raise over $150,000 to help send a flotilla to Gaza. Since then, we've focused on raising awareness about the struggle in Palestine, focusing on the heritage and culture of Palestinians, and really trying to bring the Palestinian American community here in Houston together so that they can really show our neighboring community what Palestinians are truly like.
And I know the organization does a whole lot more than that over so many years, that it has been very active and in various projects and aspects throughout the community. If you could highlight some of those and tell us about them. I know you're all involved a lot and support students, for example, at universities, scholarships, and so on.
Certainly. So while the Palestinian Festival is our flagship efforts, we do a lot for the Houston community here. Like you mentioned, we do have a scholarship program. In the past 4 years, we've been able to give over 27 different scholarships to Houston students, those who advocate for the Palestinian causes. Those are their leaders on their community campuses, the ones who go out and volunteer and really give back to the community. Overall, we've given over $60,000 in scholarships, and actually, I'm happy to say that this year we're expanding it even more. We're pushing ourselves to do more, and starting this year, we'll be giving out up to a 4-year scholarship to four different students. Each student could get up to $7,000 towards their university funding. So that's something that we're very happy to do. We want to make sure that we are there for the students to let them know that if you're on campus promoting Palestine and sharing the Palestinian culture with your friends, that you do have an organization who does support you to help you at least alleviate some of those financial burdens that you may have so that you can focus on those initiatives. Outside of the scholarship program, we also like to see ourselves as sort of the ambassadors for the Palestinian culture here in Houston. Whenever there's any festivals outside of our own, we try to be there and representing the Palestinian culture. To give you some examples, there's the Turkish festival every year as well here in Houston. They are very kind enough to have us at their festivals where we'll set up a booth to talk about Palestine and our organization. We're also heavily involved with the Students of Justice in Palestine across multiple universities here in Texas. Whenever they have events going on in their campus, we'll support them with some historical artifacts, some additional information that they can distribute to their guests. And finally, another way in which we serve as ambassadors for the culture is that we have these public performances throughout the city. This year, for example, in the past 3 months, we've had three Depkit performances, two of them over at City Center and one of them in Town Center in Sugarland. This is ways that the average person, the average family who's just outside enjoying a nice Sunday afternoon can enjoy in the Palestinian music and dance as they watch these free performances that are going on.
Very well. And I know you all used to do gala, and I'm sure something is special planned probably for the 10th anniversary. And I'm just wanted to say one thing about the Palestinian American Cultural Center, because I see the work that it does and has been doing for almost 10 years now. And it has been truly outstanding, and it does a lot of stuff in front for the whole thing and also behind the scenes with all the support. And I am grateful for the Palestinian American Cultural Center because it's a great supporter of Arab Voices here at KPFT, and we are thankful to your organization for that, and we truly appreciate it, and the contributions make a difference during the fund drives for KPFT.
Well, so I can tell you the Palestinian community really does appreciate that, the work that you're doing. You are a voice for our community, and we're happy to support you, and we'll continue supporting you as long as it's needed. I know we might be short on time, and I love talking about our organization, and there's so much that we do, but the foundation started as a fundraiser, and that's something that we continue to do. We continue to raise donations from the local community and give that back in many ways to the local organizations, to local chapters, as well as internationally. Last year, we were able to raise $20,000 to give to Anarwa USA. That was a big thing for us because Anarwa really does help the Palestinian refugees, and a lot of people in Houston have ties to Anarwa. Unfortunately, the current administration has cut funding for that, and so although $20,000 may not make much of a difference in the big scheme of Anarwa's budget, it meant a lot for our community to raise that money to give back to them. We were also able to raise $50,000 to help launch the Arab Studies Center at U of H. This is a great program where, again, the students can feel like they have an organization that supports them. There are some great professors in Houston that are helping lead that cause. So the Palestinian American Cultural Center really wants to be involved and help get those initiatives started and off the ground.
And these are extremely fruitful. And of course, the Palestinian Festival that your organization has been organizing and managing for the past 8 years, and this is the 9th year in a row, Houston Palestinian Festival. Alma, tell us about this upcoming festival.
So this festival, our 9th one, is going to be at a new location. So we previously had it at Jones Plaza. This year it's going to be at the Waterworks at Buffalo Bayou Park. We're excited about it. It's a bigger location. And our theme this year is 1948, A Key to Return. We want to take you back.
And this is going to be a new venue, a new place. Tell us more about the venue.
So it's close to downtown. It's over a water cistern, and it's going to be more spacious, and we're going to be having a lot of new things because of this expanded space. One of the things new features we're going to be having is a Beledi Cafe, which will be in collaboration with Cafe Mawal. It's going to be a traditional seating, giving you the full cultural experience. We're also going to be having a bigger bazaar, more food vendors, a bigger kids section, and so much more on stage.
This is going to be outstanding. And it's near downtown, correct? The water parks?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, one thing we wanted to do, so the reason we moved, we outgrew Jones Plaza. What's amazing about the Palestinian community is that they keep coming, and the Arab community as well, and we just couldn't fit in Jones Plaza anymore. And we wanted to find a space that was big enough for everyone, but still was in the heart of Houston. Waterworks at Buffalo Bayou still has amazing views of the Houston skyline. So we really will be transforming a part of downtown Houston into 1948 Palestine.
You know, that's a good point, because I've attended all of those festivals over the years. And regardless of which day you go to, Saturday or Sunday, you're usually walking shoulder to shoulder. It is packed, literally thousands of people attending these marvelous festivals. So what is planned this year?
This year, because we do have that bigger venue, we are really pushing the boundaries of what we've done before. Alma mentioned Beledi Cafe. We're very proud to be partnering with Mawal Cafe Mawal. And what they're doing is they're taking a massive pavilion. It's about 80 feet by 30 feet, and they're transforming it into an authentic Palestinian cafe. For just $5 admission into the Beledi Cafe, you'll be treated to free coffee or tea, some dessert, and then you can really experience what the life was like back in 1948. You'll be able to take some amazing shots of the downtown Houston skyline. So we're very excited about that as being part of our festival. We're also bringing in this amazing singer from Palestine, Raad Kabha. He's talented. Everybody loves him. When you hear his music, you're going to want to get up and dance. And hosting the festival this year is going to be the really talented, funny, and scholarly at the same time, Amir Zahid. He's coming in, flying in for us. He's going to be hosting, and we're very excited about that. So those are reasons alone to come check out the festival. But there's a lot more going on as well.
And Alma, I know every year you all have different bazaars and so many vendors showcasing and having different tastes of Palestine, whether it's the food or the merchandise. Tell us more about that.
So for the bazaar section, we have almost double the number of vendors we've had in previous years. We have many returning. We have a lot of new vendors. We're going to be featuring artists, craftsmen, vendors selling jewelry, home decor, Palestinian clothing like the tob, and many Palestinian embroidered clothing, and a lot more. And I also want to mention, just for the bazaar vendors, a lot of these vendors are flying in from out of state, not just out of Houston, just for this weekend. And food, we also have many different food vendors selling shawarma, we've got falafel, we've got knafina bilsiya, we also have bouza, which is a new Palestinian, Arabic ice cream that I think everyone's going to be excited about.
It sounds very exciting. Now, there is also the traditional Palestinian wedding performance that is done usually during the festivals. Is there one planned this year?
Yeah, we're very excited about that. For those who aren't familiar too much with the Palestinian culture, really some of the beauty of that is in Palestine, every town, every village has their own way of embroidering, an embroidering style. And you can identify where an individual is from by the clothing that they're wearing. So every year we have what we call a fashion show, where we bring these beautiful dresses from all over Palestine. And we have some great models who will wear it, and they come on stage. You can see the beautiful embroidery, and you can hear the history of that place, of what we call Tetris, and sort of see that. And to help that along, one thing that's new this year is we're going to be bringing in a giant LED screen. It's 12 feet. It's huge. This way, no matter where you are on the festival grounds, you'll be able to see the detail in the stitching in those dresses. So it should be pretty exciting.
We're excited about that screen.
This is really good and nice. Now, you mentioned Raed Kabha as one of the performers who will be there, coming from Palestine to perform live here. And I'm going to play a couple of minutes from one of his songs later during the show. But there are also a lot of local performers, very famous right here in Houston, who are going to be participating there and also performing live on stage, right?
We do. And Raad, he's not the only one who's coming from outside of Houston. So to kind of bring it in, we're going to have Wahib Nassan. He's coming from Chicago. He's a great young talent, sort of a hip-hop Palestinian rapper. And then we have the great DJ Ashraf. He's coming down from Dallas. And locally, we do have Salem Omran. He's very talented. Everybody loves hearing him sing. He really gets the crowd going. And then Houston's favorite, Jabour. This guy has been singing in Houston for many years, and he has so much energy, so much love, so much passion. You can't help but jump and scream and dance when you see him singing. We're very happy to have these guys coming back. They're great supporters of what we're doing, and we're big fans of them.
And of course, we can't miss the Debka there. Alma, I know there's going to be Debka, probably more than, I don't know if it's more than one group or one group. Can you tell us more about the Debka performance that is planned?
We have seven Debka groups coming in, some from Houston, some from out of town. We have all different ages. And as Walid had mentioned before, a few of those had performed around Houston in Sugar Land and City Center. So some people were able to get a taste of it. Come to the festival and you'll get to see them perform live again.
And you'll get to perform with them. I mean, if you've been to our festivals before, usually the Debka doesn't stop once the music stops.
Right.
We keep it going and the audience joins in. And yes, it's some of the biggest Debka lines that you'll see in all of the country.
Exactly. And there is, of course, this event is open really to all. It's not just for adults. It's a family event. I know you all have a special section for kids. Would like to hear more about that. But it's also for the entire community. It's not for Arab Americans. It's not for Palestinian Americans. It's for all. So everybody really out there, it's a huge opportunity to come, especially this month, the month of the National Arab American Heritage Month, and that we are celebrating to showcase the heritage, the culture, and talk about Arab Americans and so on. So this is one of the many events, and we will be talking about the others in details during the second segment. But this is a great opportunity also to come and meet and to get to know Palestinians and their culture and their heritage. So this is obviously open to everybody out there.
Yeah, something a great friend of our organization once told us is bring one, teach one. And we really want to encourage that. So if you are a Palestinian or an Arab and you know somebody who's not too familiar with the Mediterranean culture and what it is that we're like, we encourage them to come. Bring your friends, let them see what it's like to be Palestinian, to be Arab, especially in the times that we're living in here in the United States. It's important for that network to grow, those relationships to become stronger. And one thing new that we're doing this year to add to that long list is we're creating these sort of... To summarize it, and I hope not to downplay it in any way, but sort of a Palestinian 101 book that we'll be handing out to people. So you come in, it contains great information about Palestinian food, Palestinian geography, demographics, history. It's really a good way for someone to learn all there is to learn about Palestine.
And tell us about the new kids section that I'm told it will be unlike previous kids sections at previous festivals.
Yeah, so with the bigger venue, we're now able to expand the kids section. And what's also exciting this year is that the kids section is going to be open all day, both Saturday and Sunday. So it closes whenever the festival's over. It's going to have two moon bounces. We're going to have popcorn, face painting, cotton candy, arts and crafts, carnival games, and there's so much more for the little kids to enjoy.
And I take it there is no age limitation.
There's no age limitation. I did also want to mention before, the entrance fee this year is going to be $10 for adults, and it's $5 for kids, which will give them access to the kids section.
And that'll be from the ages of 5 to 11.
5 to 11, yes.
Very well, and children under would be free.
Children under 5 would be free.
Yes. Yeah. I did want to mention one more thing since we're talking about the entrance. Sorry. If you do buy your tickets on Eventbrite, you can buy a 2-day pass. And with that, the 2-day pass is $15. So instead of, if you're planning on coming both days, instead of paying $10 each day, you can just pay a discounted fee of $15.
Very well. And Dr. Walid, I want to ask you, because this festival, I'm sure it has tons of volunteers behind the scenes to make it, and every year it just gets better and better and better, and it's hard to even imagine what it will be in the future. But there are a lot of volunteers behind the scenes, and the good thing about it is I'm always aware that the proceeds from this festival, actually, they all go to the good causes that some of them you already mentioned by the Palestinian American Cultural Center, such as a scholarships and so on. So it benefits, all the income goes back and benefits the community and the students and so on.
That's right. Really, PAC is run by 100% volunteers. It's a great organization, and with the festival, I have to give credit to our chair of the festival, Mona Farid. She's done a great job of growing a team of, I think, over 40 people now. Mm-hmm. And this is the festival committee. On the day of, we have so many volunteers from different schools, organizations. So many people want to participate and be a part of this. And that's what PAC is really all about, getting the community involved. Because of all these volunteers, because of people who are willing to sponsor and do things either for free or at a reduced cost, the money that we raise from the festival is going to great causes. It's going to help local pro-Palestinian organizations here in Houston. It's going to help organizations in the U.S., and as well as helping organizations in Palestine. If you go to our website, pachouston.org, we have all our finances up there. On there, you can see all the charitable contributions that we've made, I think, for the past 3 or 4 years. It's a long list. You have to keep scrolling down more and more to see all the, you know, the contributions that we've made. So I encourage everyone to go and see that.
And this festival this year is being held under the theme or showcasing the Palestinian cities lost in 1948. Can you tell us about that?
Everyone knows in 1948 the state of Israel was created, and it was formed by carving out a section of what was the British Mandate of Palestine. There were cities that were part of that partition. Those cities have been lost and forgotten, and we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to continue. So this year we are really paying attention to those cities. Our cultural team has done a great job of capturing the essence of it in the way that they're decorating. I don't want to give away too much because I do encourage you to come and see it. But you will learn about those cities. You will see what they were like. You will hear about the stories from pre-1948. It's something that's very important to us, something that we've wanted to do for a while, and we felt now is the right time to do it with this bigger venue.
That would be great. That's excellent. So I look forward to the festival to see that and others. Alma, remind our listeners again, please, of the dates, the exact times, and the location, and how they can get more information.
So again, the festival is April 6th and 7th, from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Sunday at the Waterworks Buffalo Bayou Park. If you go on the website, pachouston.org, you can look up the festival, and it also shows you all the different parking options. It's $10 for adults, $5 for kids, and you can buy your tickets on Eventbrite for a discounted price, and you can also skip the lines doing that.
And I highly and strongly recommend everybody to attend this great festival, because again, every year it's just proven to be better than the year before and so on. So we look forward to this huge festival, the Houston Palestinian Festival. Dr. Waleed or Alma, any last word you'd like to share or mention about the festival or anything else for our listeners?
Yeah, just one more thing. I mean, the city of Houston is known for having pretty chaotic weather that changes all the time. Don't be dismayed by the weather reports right now. We're going to have a beautiful festival, rain or shine. The grounds are on top of the water cistern, so the drainage is excellent. Even if it sprinkles for a little bit, you'll never even notice it. So do come out. We'll be there. We'll be having a great time, and we hope to see you as well.
Very well. Well, I want to thank you both so much, Dr. Waleed Faris, president of the Palestinian American Cultural Center, and Alma Al-Quqab, senior festival committee member. We were talking about the upcoming Houston Palestinian Festival. Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You're listening to Arab Voices on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of the show. We will take a break now, and when we come back, we will talk about this month, the month of April, as it is National Arab American Heritage Month. And our guests to talk about that will be Sarah Qassis Azzat, a volunteer serving on the board of a special project with Arab America Organization, and Ahmed Al-Aswad, board member with the Arab American Cultural and Community Center and chief of staff at the Office of Fort Bend County Commissioner. We'll be right back, but during this break, we will listen to the Palestinian singer, the one we were just talking about, Raed Kabha, who is coming to Houston this weekend to perform live at the Palestinian Festival. Welcome back to Arab Voices on Houston's Pacifica Radio, listener-sponsored, commercial-free KPFT 90.1 FM, with live streaming, podcasting, and online archive of previous shows at both kpft.org and arabvoices.net. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of the show, which is also syndicated in WHYR 96.9 FM in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The song you just heard was for Raed Kabha, Palestinian singer who will be in Houston this weekend, coming from Palestine, performing live at the 9th Annual Houston Palestinian Festival at the Waterworks at Buffalo Bayou Park. This month, April, is National Arab American Heritage Month. And joining us now live in the studios of KPFT to talk about it and some planned activities during this month is Sarah Qassis Azzat, a volunteer serving on the board of a special project with Arab America Organization, and Ahmed Al-Aswad, board member with the Arab American Cultural and Community Center and chief of staff at the office of Fort Bend County Commissioner Ken DeMerchant. So Ahmed is, by the way, the first chief of staff at such an office or such a title in the greater Houston area, if not in the state of Texas. Sarah and Ahmed, welcome to Arab Voices.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Thanks. It's good to have you both on the show. I just want to mention something quickly to our listeners before we dive into this month and the activities. So obviously, we want to talk about April, the National Arab American Heritage Month. Arabs have contributed to civilizations all over the world and here in the United States for decades. They have contributed significantly and made changes that affected everyone in science, humanities, mathematics, medicine, astronomy, architecture, navigation and geography, language and calligraphy, music, philosophy, arts and recreation, libraries, colleges, just to name a few. Arab Americans are present in all walks of life in the United States, and in most cases, they excel at what they do. They are medical doctors, physicians, businessmen and women, engineers, public officials, athletes and sports heroes, scientists, inventors, politicians, congresswomen and men, lawyers, executives, accountants, home builders, professors, teachers, academics, restaurant owners, taxi drivers, media personalities, entertainers, law enforcement, technology, and a whole lot more. I am an Arab American and proud to be one. And I continue to do this particular program, Arab Voices, to highlight the contributions of Arabs to civilizations and highlight what Arab Americans do and talk about their rich heritage and culture and also dispel the myths and misinformation and misunderstandings about Arabs, some of it intentional by politicians and other media outlets. And I'd like to talk about their just causes and endeavors for freedom and liberty. So that's why I have been doing this program. By the way, this month, April, is also marks the 17th anniversary for this program, Arab Voices on KPFT. That's right. I started this program in April 2002, and I am proud of what this program has done over the past 17 years. So to talk about Arab American Heritage Month with Sarah and Ahmed. Sarah, I know you are with Arab America Organization. A special board was formed. You have been working on it for at least 3 years. If I may start with you to tell us about that, please, and how that started and the works and efforts that you and other colleagues have been doing.
Of course. So as you mentioned, Arab America has been working on this initiative for around 3 years. So the initiative has been growing and getting larger and larger as the years go on. So Arab America as a national media organization has the goal of educating the American public around exactly what you were just mentioning, the contributions of Arab Americans to American culture, and also just to provide educational material and accurate portrayals of Arab Americans and Arab culture in America. Part of this is to counteract some of the, you know, negative media portrayals of Arabs in America. So, you know, the people who founded Arab America noticed that National Arab American Heritage Month was being celebrated, but in a very inconsistent manner. So, you know, some were celebrating it during a week in March. Some were celebrating it, you know, in February. It was just very inconsistent. And so, you know, there was a big effort to try to start to make this celebration consistent so that it could be more widely recognized and, you know, in that way, educate more people. So I know that, you know, in the first couple of years, there were around 9 states that were involved. And it's been growing. So even just this year, we've grown to 14 states nationwide that are participating and reaching out to local officials, school boards, to try to get proclamations of April being National Arab American Heritage Month. We've been very successful this year. I think we have about 22 proclamations in hand at the moment and growing. And a lot of really great celebrations are being planned nationwide. So that's, you know, a little bit of context, and that's something that is very encouraging. The whole nation is rallying behind this, especially, you know, in the face of some recent events that are a bit negative, and Islamophobia and these things that we encounter day to day. So, you know, I'm very proud and happy to be involved in this type of effort to educate the public and, you know, put our energy towards something very positive and, you know, just educate those around us. So Houston and Texas are actually participating in this and have been very successful. We do have a proclamation here in Houston from Mayor Sylvester Turner. So that's something we're very proud of.
And, you know, this is something important. First, kudos to you. And I know Dr. Faiza Zalila, and there are others also involved with you at that special board with Arab America.
That's right. So there are many, many others involved. And just here in Texas, obviously, we've got several. So you mentioned Dr. Faiza Zalila. She's the one that was primarily responsible for reaching out to Mayor Turner and getting this proclamation that, you know, is so exciting. We've got Joe Shahada that's been working as well. And so it's been very successful.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
There are several proclamations that have been issued by different officials in Texas, and particularly in this greater Houston area. We want to talk about them. You mentioned the Mayor Sylvester Turner with the City of Houston. They issued a declaration, a proclamation. And do you want to share with us some of what he put in that proclamation?
Well, sure, I'd love to. So I'll read some of the language. It's a bit long, so I'll read excerpts of it. Very encouraging here. So, whereas, for over a century, Arab Americans have made valuable contributions to virtually every aspect of American society, such as medicine, law, business, education, technology, government, military service, and culture. And whereas, Arab Americans have also enriched our society by sharing in the entrepreneurial American spirit that bolsters the economy, and the incredible contributions and heritage of Arab Americans have helped to build a better nation. And whereas Arab Americans continue to advocate for the prevention of civil rights abuse, harmful stereotyping, and bullying, and join all Americans in the desire to see a peaceful and diverse society where every individual is treated equally and feels safe, and whereas during the month of April, the local Arab community will observe and celebrate National Arab American Heritage Month, the City of Houston celebrates the contributions Arab Americans have made to society and encourages all citizens to join in the special observance of National Arab American Heritage Month. Therefore, I, Sylvester Turner, Mayor of City of Houston, hereby proclaim April 2019 as National Arab American Heritage Month in Houston, Texas.
This is great, and I think that speaks volume. The Arab American population in Houston is very large, very vibrant, and very, very effective in many ways, and they do a lot of good for the greater Houston area. And Ahmed, if Ahmed Al-Aswad, as we introduced earlier, he is a board member with the Arab American Cultural and Community Center. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Being a board member, and congratulations again on being the first chief of staff in probably the state of Texas. You're currently the chief of staff for the Fort Bend Commissioner. So your role, actually, as first as an ACC board member, Arab American Cultural and Community Center, you have been involved, and the center has been involved, in promoting Arab heritage and culture for so many years. And especially, they have been organizing activities and events, and this is actually the sixth annual Arab American Heritage Month that they celebrate, and later we want to ask you about what's planned. But if you could tell us about your take on the National Arab American Heritage Month and Arab contributions, and also how that ties into your role as Chief of Staff for Fort Bend County Commissioner, in bridging the gap, if you will, and have better understanding of Arabs to officials, elected officials, and so on.
Sure. That's actually a great question. So yesterday, Commissioner DeMerchant, my boss, came by, and during Commissioner's Court, he made an announcement that he wanted to provide a proclamation to me on behalf to celebrate the Arab Heritage Month in front of everyone. And that caught me by surprise. Afterwards, individuals who, from the audience, even the commissioners, remaining commissioners approached me and they said, "I didn't know that you were an Arab. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This is a great accomplishment. We're so happy and honored for you to be here." Having something like this really will start that conversation to have that Arabs are an important community in this area, in the nation, and all over the world.
That's a good point, because there is a lot of information there. It's about people, they have the perception about Arabs or Muslims based on, first of all, hateful comments from some politicians or some media outlets. They put misinformation. And those people, they probably never met an Arab, never met a Muslim or somebody from the Middle East. But once they get to know them, and some of them probably have been dealing with them and working with them, and they just didn't realize, like, oh, I didn't know that. It's like, oh, what a great opportunity, and so on. So I think you made a good point that you have to know them. Once you know somebody, and whether it's your neighbors, co-workers, or anywhere else, people, we're proud of what we do and our heritage, we should share that.
And I would like to add, just to add on to that, that we need to, as Arab Americans, we need to really get out of our bubble and help individuals from all over the world in this area, the different communities, and let them know that their issues are the same as our issues. And if we work together as Houstonians or individuals from Sugarland, we can get things done.
So, Ahmed, you mentioned your boss, the commissioner, Ken the Merchant.
Yes.
He also had a proclamation declaring that the month of April is National Arab American Heritage Month. You want to tell us and share maybe some of that proclamation from Fort Bend Commissioner with our listeners?
Sure. Commissioner DeMerchant came up to me and he said, "I heard April is Arab Heritage Month. Let's do a proclamation." I said, "Let's do it." So
you mean you didn't tell him that April is Arab Heritage?
I did. That's a good point. Yeah. So the proclamation goes is that the first group of Arab immigrants arrived in the U.S. in 1980s to escape economic instability and have been an integral part of the Arab American society, whereas they brought with them the American strong family values and common desire to foster a community in which families can live and thrive. Whereas Arab American accomplishments are as diverse as Fort Bend County itself, and whose value presence has added to the cultural mosaic of other communities. Therefore, I, Ken R. DeMerchant, by the power vested in me as County Commissioner of Fort Bend County, Texas, Precinct 4, celebrate the contributions of Arab Americans have made to society and do hereby formally recognize April 2019 to be Arab Heritage Month.
These are great. And by the way, I attended the opening ceremony, the ribbon cutting ceremony for the Lebanese festival that was held in Houston a couple of weeks ago. And
correct.
He was there and he spoke at the event and he did make a comment. I was there about you as being the first Arab and how proud he was to have a first Arab American on his staff, and especially at a high level as a chief of staff.
That is correct. I am very honored to be the very first Arab American chief of staff to be in Fort Bend County.
This is great. And we know also that Fort Bend County judge also issued a proclamation.
That is correct.
And as well as Houston Independent School District, Sarah, and I'm not sure about Fort Bend County, Fort Bend ISD. I've heard that they've issued a proclamation, but I don't have a copy of that. Could you share with us some other comments or information from those proclamations?
Of course. So yes, you're correct in that HISD Houston Independent School District has issued a proclamation, which is very exciting. Part of the initiative that Arab America has pursued is to create a package or curriculum that can be shared with schools. And we have shared that widely. And so the hope is that, educators will, review that, kind of take the pieces and parts that resonate with them and with their communities, and will share that with kids. And so the most important thing there is that the kids can recognize themselves in what's being shown and what's being taught. And we can tie those commonalities to, you know, or just make people aware of those commonalities, and that relatability really allows people to start opening up and realizing, hey, these people are not so different from myself, and actually this culture is very rich and beautiful and the history is very interesting. So, you know, that said, part of our work now as Arab Americans is to make non-Arabs or people that are not familiar with our culture aware. And so that's a big part of what we would like to happen in April. And so every single listener can, you know, take part in that initiative. There are so many different things that you could do. So within, you know, your kids' schools, you could ask the teachers to host a cultural club in which they share, you know, different parts of all cultures, but during April, maybe highlighting, you know, Arab culture, Arab American culture. So, you know, within that, you know, kids can design a poster for Arab American Heritage Month. They can, you know, be asked to write a 1,000-word article about the Arab American I admire most. Any number of things, having kind of an Arabic Heritage Night, where, you know, we share food, music, those types of events, great or small. I mean, it's very simple. Even inviting your neighbor for coffee and explaining some of the things that we do in our daily life and the ways we celebrate and that type of thing. And that said, I mean, I think it's very important too that we invite others to the events that already exist. So leveraging events like the Palestinian Festival coming up this weekend, why not just invite your friends that may not be as familiar? That way you don't have to do anything except go, and there's a, you know, plenty of food available for them to sample and plenty of music and events. So I know that the Arab American Culture and Community Center is also hosting an event for NAM to celebrate National Arab American Heritage Month. So
and that's we will be talking about this shortly with Ahmed to talk about them and highlight them to our listeners. Ahmed, why don't we do that and tell us about those activities and events. I know there are four at least scheduled through the month of April.
Correct.
By the Arab American Cultural and Community Center celebrating the sixth annual time that they are doing
Correct.
It.
Yes, as you were saying, that ACC has been doing this for 6 years. We do have four events that will really celebrate the heritage that we have here. So the first one is happening tomorrow, I believe. The fourth, which is tomorrow, is the kickoff night, and that is Art Talk with Hikma Al-Judi. That is tomorrow at 7:30. That is happening at the ACC. The event is free. Then on April 12th, there will be Ladies International Cultural Night. This is ladies only, and there is a $5 cover charge for that. On April 26th, there is Oud and Tarab songs happening at 7:30, and that is also free. And on the 28th, that we will have a poetry afternoon with esteemed local Arab American poets from 4 to 5:30. That is also free. The poetry will be given in Arabic, but for those who are familiar with the Arab language, it is a very poetic language.
Yeah, and I look forward to that particular event because there are very well-known poets in Houston. Some people may not realize that they are also poets, like Dr. Samir Touma. I've listened to him one time, and I was blown away with his poetry, really. And Hanan Khamis, and Isa Consol, and Tarif Youssef Agha. So they will be there reciting some of their latest poems. And of course, Palestinian musician Muhammad Rashid will be playing the Nai during that event, also will be performing there. Now, the first event that's going to take place tomorrow by the artist Hakima El-Judi, she's coming from Paris, from France, right? Because that's where she lives. So she's coming over for this event, correct?
Yes, she's coming from Paris to here to really have that kickoff. So we really would encourage everyone from the community, from Houston, from the greater Houston area to attend and show the Southern hospitality that we have here in Texas.
And she specializes in her work, depicts the multi-form artistic symbiosis between cinema, video, and installations. It's really very, very unique. You really have to come there and listen to her talk tomorrow. Now, all of that, all of these events, including the International Cultural Ladies' Night on April 12th, as well as the Oud Night, that's a special Arab instrument.
Correct.
That does fantastic music. So that's these are all at the Arab American Cultural and Community Center on 10555 Stancliffe Road.
That is correct.
And you have events listed on your website. And I have links to them also on arabvoices.net where people can RSVP and so on.
It's on our website, and I believe it's on our Facebook as well.
Yeah, very well. I want to go back. You started mentioning about what schools can do, Sarah, because this is something important, because it's, so we have these really great events organized and are going to take place in Houston. People can attend. But there's a question probably from others. What can we do? So like people who are in high school who are listening now, students or teachers or universities or other organizations or normal ordinary people, what else? You mentioned some of them, but what else can they do? And if they need information, what ideas and where can they get ideas on what to do or whom to contact?
That's really great. So actually, it is wonderful, and we do hope that listeners and citizens will decide to take this and run with it and just really show leadership in their communities to organize some of these events. So, you can really break it down into community events, school events, and school events, you know, both parents and students can kind of take the onus on themselves to work with the schools to kind of get some of these things up and running. So, as I mentioned, these events can be, you know, they can range from formal to informal. One idea that I really did like was creating an Arabic museum at the school's library. So basically just speak with teachers and students and organize to compile a collection of Arabic art, artifacts, and displays in the school library, and just have an Arabic museum for a week or as school time permits, so that as kids go in on their normal library time, they might be exposed to something that they wouldn't normally see. And I think a really great resource for something like that, actually, this one came up recently. So good resources. The Museum of the Palestinian People in Washington. They're just now opening up. They haven't broken ground. They've been working on the construction of their actual physical location. But they do have traveling exhibits. And so even just getting looped in with the types of things they're showing, I know that they are actually soliciting exhibit pieces from the general public, saying if you have interesting photos from your family history that show Palestine as it was in the 40s, or, you know, anything, artifacts that we may have in our homes or in our grandparents' homes, or, you know, those types of things, those ideas are really great. I really think MPP, or the Museum of the Palestinian People, is an up-and-coming, really dynamic resource, and their website is http://mpp.dc.org. mpp-dc.org. I've just been really impressed with the splash that they've made recently. And they're also still raising money to try to open their doors. And so that's going to be really good.
And we will have a link to that on our website. Ahmed, give us the website for the ACC, for the Arab American Cultural and Community Center, for people who want to look up and or to RSVP for the upcoming events organized by the ACC.
I want to pull that up real quick. I don't want to give the wrong information. If you can just give me a second.
And by the way, while he's pulling that up, Sarah, I know we talk about National Arab American Heritage Month, but there is no official national one proclaimed by the president, for example. Do you foresee that something coming, I don't know, under the Trump era, but...
You know... That's obviously under the Trump era, that's debatable. However, I see us making leaps and bounds. And so for every kind of setback, I see our country taking two steps forward. And as you can see, we now have people in Congress and people in Senate that are of Arab American backgrounds and refuse to, I guess, just sort of go with the status quo. They are challenging some of the ways that people are thinking, and it's been really good because, you know, planting these seeds will definitely allow that idea to propagate. So maybe in the future, I'm hopeful.
Very well. Ahmed, we have a few seconds left for the show.
Sure. It's acchouston.org, it will be better on Facebook, the Arab American Cultural and Community Center. You can like and you can follow the page.
And I have links to those also on our website, arabvoices.net. Unfortunately, we're out of time. So I want to thank both guests very much. Sarah Qassis Izzat, a volunteer serving on the board of a special project with Arab America Organization, and Ahmed Al-Aswad, board member with the Arab American Cultural and Community Center and chief of staff at the office of Fort Bend County Commissioner Ken DeMerchant. Thank you so much, Ahmed and Sarah. We greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. People of Earth is coming up next. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on Earth.